That was gorgeous. That was beautiful. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I have been practicing good afternoon, and actually I tried to convince Mr. Ekema today. He said, you're on today, right? I said, yes, 2 o'clock. He didn't buy that, so here I am now. But it's good to see you all here on day 4 of the feast, this midway point of the feast, and I hope that your feast has been as good as ours. We have, up to this point, heard some phenomenal messages. I hope not to break that streak today. And I guarantee you, having had been a part of the pre-feast speakers conference, that there are many messages coming up that are very inspired as well. But for my message today, I'd like to start out with just my title. And the title of my message is simply Control-Alt-Delete. Control-Alt-Delete. Now, if you're a Mac user, I understand those keys are a little different. You might consider my title being Command-Alt-Escape. Now, whichever title you use, you might think that's a strange title. And I'll admit it probably is for a sermon. But give me a few minutes, if you will, and especially if you don't use a computer, if you're technologically challenged, you might have no idea what I'm talking about. So hang with me for just a minute. We are here, as I mentioned already, we're here together in the middle of God's Feast of Tabernacles, and we've heard, again, some very phenomenal messages that talk about the hope that awaits us, right? That glory that awaits humanity after God's kingdom returns to this earth. And I can promise that, again, I mentioned, we're going to hear some more messages the rest of this week that are going to be very inspiring for all of us here. Every day, even here at the feast, but every day of our lives, we see how different our lives are and our beliefs are from the world in general, but even of the Christian world. We just believe different things, right? Things like we do not believe once saved, always saved. We don't agree with the world on the concepts that many people believe of things like heaven and hell. And then we could go down that list of topics where our beliefs differ. We do not believe, and we've heard about that already in this feast, we do not believe that a person is once saved, always saved. I mentioned that. We do not believe also that we are saved by our works. And again, I think we all know that. We can't earn our way into eternal life. We can, though, however, and we all know this, we can refuse to allow God's Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And we can refuse to allow God's way of life to take hold in us, even though we know that's what we're supposed to do. Right? It's no secret. We know our Bibles give us all the instructions. Right, we refer to this as our instruction book. We know that. Our Bibles clearly tell us what we're to do. And to kind of be the icing on the cake, Christ came in person and he set that perfect example for us. It seems that it should be so simple. Why then do we find ourselves repenting all too often? And maybe I'm the only one in this room that's doing that. But I'm guessing that's not the case. Why do we find ourselves still repenting all too often? Because we struggle at times to live our lives the way that God the Father and Jesus Christ want us to. The whys we do what we do, the whys, why we do what we do, those are varied, right? The whys are numerous. It's hard to say, but why we do what we do. But the question is, how do we change? What are we to do? Well, let me go back to my title. You see, I'm a visual learner. I like to have things in my mind that I see on a daily basis remind me. You know, I have my fork, thanks to Mr. Beam, reminding me. I also heard Mr. Ekema leaves a really nice big piece of cheesecake backstage for all the speakers, and I wanted to be prepared just in case it wasn't a rumor. So, Mr. Ekema, you got about 30 minutes. But I chose this title for a purpose. Again, if you're a computer user, much of you are likely familiar with the function of the Control-Alt-Delete keys when you hit them simultaneously. Again, Command-Alt-Escape for a Mac. To be specific, though, let me read the following definition. It says this: Control plus Alt plus Delete is a computer keyboard command on PC computers invoked by pressing the Delete key while holding the Control and Alt keys. The function of the key combination differs depending on the context, but, and this is the important part, but it generally interrupts or facilitates interrupting a function. You say, okay, that's fine, but what's your point? Well, today I want to consider this application in a couple different ways. First of all, I want to take each of those keys, that Control key, that Alt key, that Delete key, and look at those individually. And then we'll wrap up as basically looking at that combination of keys as an overall function. So let's start by considering the Control key. And you probably are way ahead of me. And where would we start? Well, again, we mentioned already, we know what we're supposed to do every day. We know what's expected of us. The question again, and think about it this way, why then do we continue to succumb and do those things that we shouldn't? Why is that? Often, I will offer to you today, often it's simply a matter of not being in control. Let's think about that a little bit more. Think about it. Sometimes our actions or the words we use or the thoughts we have, right? Our tempers, what we take in on a daily basis, the places we find ourselves, how we spend our time, the people we hang out with, how much time we spend in Bible study and prayer, or how much time we don't spend in Bible study and prayer. All of these things, brethren, are in our control. They are in our control, especially when we consider that we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And again, it sounds so easy, but as flawed humans, as mortal humans still, we often find ourselves behaving in a way that we know that if we don't change, that could keep us out of God's kingdom. Again, it seems so simple. And it's not just me. I understand that. Let's look at Romans 3, verse 23 as a scripture to start. Just as a reminder, a scripture, again, we're very familiar with. We know that we're sinners. We know that it's only by God's grace that we will be in his kingdom. But he's given us all the tools that we need to overcome. But Romans 3:23 simply says this: For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, yep, that's me. You're talking about me. You can write down 1 John 1, verse 8. I'll read it to you. It says, If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Brethren, we know what we're supposed to do. Why then do we struggle at times so much? We know what ultimately is going to be our reward. Let's look at Revelation 2, verse 26. We've heard this scripture already, I'm pretty sure we'll hear it again used in this feast. But it really applies to my point today. Again, Revelation 2, let's look at verse 26. Part of that glory that we're all looking forward to when after Christ returns. Revelation 2, verse 26. It says, And he who overcomes, in another version of the Bible I read, it says, And he who shows control and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And we have no true understanding of what that's going to be like. We talk about it and we envision in our minds what it's going to be like in God's kingdom, but God's thoughts we know are so far above ours. But it tells us clearly, this is what's waiting for you. If you show some control, if you overcome these things and keep my works until the end, to that person I will give power over the nations. Again, we're here in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, worshiping our God and looking so forward to that day when Christ does return. And so, what changes? What needs to change in us? And I know it's different for each of us, but consider some of these questions. What do I need to do to make that change once and for all? What do I need to do? What do I need to start to control better? I plan, and I want to see every one of you at that time returning with Christ on that day. What do we need to do? What do we need to change in our lives now? You know, the picture has been painted for us already in this feast about what it's going to be like when Christ returns. Ask ourselves, how can I grow in holy, righteous character? Ask yourself, you know, God, before he gives me eternal life, he's got to have a certain amount of trust in me. How can God know that he could trust me? It comes back to that, being able to show that we have control. We're exerting more and more control every day over our behaviors, over our actions, over our thoughts. Right? We're working to grow and be more Christ-like every day. We can ask ourselves, am I humble? Am I teachable? Am I submissive? Am I serving? Am I loving? Am I caring? Am I spiritually and doctrinally strong? Do I just play church one day a week? Am I anchored by the truth that I have proven in the Bible? Do I know I'll always hold fast to what I've been taught? And finally, maybe that question is, can God trust me? Let's look, well, I'll refer you to Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says this, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. How are we doing with that? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, please. How do we walk worthy of the calling to which we are called? It's hard. Mr. Ekema mentioned in his sermon, you know, life's hard at times. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. I love this scripture. It was one of my favorite. It says, fight, brethren, take action. Do something with the Holy Spirit. Don't just wait for it to change you. You got to do something as well. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. If I could paraphrase for the purpose of this sermon, I would say, he's saying, please control yourself. What about the second key that we talked about, the Control-Alt-Delete? Let's talk about Alt. I'm going to use it for the purpose of the sermon again. Alter. What do we need to alter? Depends a little bit, varies from each person to person, but in general, I would say, as a people striving to be more Christ-like every day, we want to alter our behavior. And again, on the surface, it seems so simple to do, right? God says, do this. All right, that's what I'm going to do from now on. But have you ever asked yourself, why? Why do I keep falling back into the same old patterns? You know, I thought that was behind me. I wasn't going to do that anymore. And yet, I've done it again. I think we've all done that from time to time, but why? Right? Just overcoming, altering our behavior takes work. It takes effort. You're not going to wake up one morning and poof, you know, oh, I'm not going to sin anymore. It finally clicked in. I'm perfect. It's not the way it's going to work. We know that. Wake up and find all of our bad habits gone. It takes effort on our part. It takes daily effort. And we know that we have to exert a good deal of effort. As it tells us here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fighting. That's just not sitting around saying, okay, God, give me more and more of your spirit. I'll tell you when it's enough. No, we're fighting to lay hold on eternal life. It says, through the exercising, again, action word, effort, through the exercising of our faith. And we know that, right? There's a certain amount, right? A substantial amount of effort involved on our part. And we have to remember, God expects this of us. He expects it of us. He expects us to grow daily. He expects us to bear fruit. Let's look at that real quickly. John 15. John 15. Let's start in verse 2. John 15 and verse 2. Again, we're told God expects us to bear fruit. He tells us this in John 15, verse 2, at the very start. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So let's briefly stop and consider this point. It says, bearing fruit, in other words, is mandatory. It's expected, it's mandatory for every one of us. And we clearly see that here, and we'll read that in a minute, that if you don't produce any fruit, you're going to be cut off from the vine. I was thinking about this morning. You know, we're here at the feast. Most of our troubles that we deal with on a daily basis are back home waiting on us. And so this is a place that it seems easier to bear fruit. Right? We don't have all that stuff weighing us down every day, and so we're helping others. We're going out and seeing where people's needs are. It's really easy to do that here. How can we continue that as we go home, that bearing fruit? But it tells us as we go on in John 15, verse 2, it says, if you don't bear fruit, right, it tells us, you know, going on here, that in every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. It takes work. And when we start getting a little better at it, he says, I want a little bit more. God's not satisfied with just a little bit of fruit. Once you start doing it, it tells us he's going to start pruning, right? In other words, God's going to step in. He's going to personally work with every one of us in such a way that we find that bearing fruit and learning that way of life, it becomes easier. It becomes easier to bear more fruit. You can write down Colossians 1 and verse 10. Where ultimately he talks about being fruitful in every good work. Brethren, so we walk worthy of God and we fully please him by being fruitful in every good work. How important is that to you? Notice it doesn't say be fruitful in the area that you're most comfortable in. It says, be bearing fruit to be fruitful in every good work. Colossians 1, I don't know if I had to turn there. Colossians 1, verse 10. Let's read that a little bit more. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 10. We jump in here. It says, again, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We're not trying to earn our way in the kingdom. We know we can't. It's by God's grace that we will be there. But we have work to do. We have work to do. Again, this scripture shows us the end result of living a life walking worthy with God and being fruitful in everything we do. It tells us we will be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Eternal life in power and glory. We have heard again, and we will hear more messages being more specific, and I won't get into that. But let's see even more about bearing fruits just while we're here. Second, because this is important, 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, starting in verse 5. We have to alter our behaviors, right? We have to change how we're living our lives on a daily basis. We have to start bearing more fruit as Christ and as God has instructed us here. 2 Peter 1, let's read verses 5 through 9. Second Peter 1, starting in verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, there's that word again, control, self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. Verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Brethren, we get this. We know this in our hearts, that this is critically important to our salvation. You know, bearing fruit has so much to do, if you think about it, with our attitude and with our behavior. You know, these verses we read, they speak of patience, of godliness, of kindness, of love. We heard already, you know, how important it is for us to be righteous. These scriptures talk about relationships towards one another, how we treat one another. We could even go on to say, well, I didn't treat him bad. But is being cold or indifferent to someone or their plight, that's not what God wants us to do, right? Again, if we have God's Holy Spirit, we know what the end result is supposed to be in our behaviors. And simply put, brethren, we have to alter our way of thinking. The last function, the delete function, again, if we look at it alone, we need to delete once and for all the behaviors and all the wrong that we do that Christ clearly tells us, please stop doing that. Do it this way instead. Things will go so much better for you. Your lives will be easier. You won't dig yourself in holes as often. We know, brethren, simply put, we have to delete all the actions in our lives that are not godly. Again, it's not an option. God requires it of us. He doesn't say, well, you know, it'd be nice. Did that. Not what he says. He requires it of us. And when we do that, he promises that we will be in his kingdom. And the good news is, if we're struggling and we ask him, he promises that he will help us overcome those things if we simply yield to him. So how do we do this once and for all? Think in your own life, what habits or behaviors do I hold on to that cause me to sin? What do I need to remove or delete from my daily routine? Right? How do I need to change my way of thinking that will make the necessary changes easier? Behaviorists will tell you that if you want to see a lasting change in a behavior that you or a habit, that you need to replace that wrong behavior, that bad habit, with something else, obviously, in this case, something good. And we make it a point to practice that good thing on a regular basis to replace that old habit. Right? We have to retrain our mind. We have to replace that habit. We have to use our time differently most often to break that old behavior. And that's different for all of us. Perhaps it's as simple as starting to hang out with a different group of people. If that group partakes in activities that cause you to be tempted in some area. Maybe it's as simple as watching something, a different TV program, or reading the news less, right? Or unscribing to certain social media platforms. My point is, it could be a multitude of things. And I hope you see my point. We simply must alter our behavior once and for all. When's Christ going to return? We don't know. The question I ask myself at times when I stumble again is, what am I waiting for? Why do I keep kicking that can down the road? Brethren, the good news of that is that God will help us. He'll help us overcome all of those sins in our lives if we simply yield to him, if we allow him to help us, if we yield to his Holy Spirit, if we seek him more every day, if we go to him on our knees every day and ask for his strength, if we study his word more, if we start to act on what we know. Again, I mentioned earlier, and I hope we realize that we're not going to earn our way into God's kingdom. But let's look at this. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2. Let's start in verse 8. Again, we are not earning our way into God's kingdom. It reminds us. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God's set that platter before us. And he says, I just want you to eat of these things. Stop eating those other things. Finally, brethren, I want to consider the Control-Alt-Delete function, or if you use a Mac, the Command-Alt-Escape function as a whole briefly. Let me read to you again what happens in your computer when you hit those three keys simultaneously. It says the function of the key combination differs depending on the context, but it generally interrupts or facilitates interrupting a function. So the next time you find yourself thinking in a way or behaving in a way that you know you shouldn't, think about this. You know, think about this function. Think about it and say, it's time I do an immediate reset. We know that times aren't going to get better. Satan's going to be working even harder as that time of Christ's return gets nearer. Second Corinthians 4, verse 8 tells us, and it refers to this, and we can see that this is coming even for us, but it says 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. Well, let's turn there. Nope. I have a point I want to make. Let's not rush through that. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 8. Again, we hit that Control-Alt-Delete function in our lives when we find ourselves in that wrong spot. Let's do that reset. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side. And again, brethren, the world's not going to get any better. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What did Paul say after he talked about these times? Let's read on down. Let's pick it up in verse 16. He says, it's going to get tough. He says, but therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. As hard as they seem, as much stress as it causes us, as much as we struggle to live this life the way God expects us to, the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren, as I start to wrap up here, we know what our future holds. Again, we've heard it not many times before this feast, but in the last 3.5-4 days, we've heard about it, what our future holds. We know the glory that awaits us. And again, I promise we're going to hear some more messages reminding of that story, what is waiting us out there. And it awaits all of those who are going to overcome. The calling we have, brethren, comes with a great responsibility to yield to the Holy Spirit today, because we know that our calling is to become part of that kingdom of priests. I was reminded this morning, Mr. Giddens had asked, do you still have that placard on your desk? And if you were at the feast a few years ago, you might remember this, but I'm going to read it to you as part of my conclusion here. This is I'm a visual learner. And this is a placard that's been on my desk my mother-in-law gave me years ago. But it says this: I have the powerful awareness that I have made the right decision and I am going in the right direction. I get goosebumps when I read this. I have them now. It says this, and I believe this with all my heart. I will let no one or no thing detour, defeat, or depress me. I will be determined. I will be persistent. I will be faithful, and I will not quit. Brethren, let's keep that in mind as we move forward in this feast, and as we, even after we leave this feast, times are going to get tough, but please remember, every time you sit down at your computer and the spiritual application that we've talked about, of those, that Control-Alt-Delete function that we discussed today. And I hope that you all have a great rest of the feast.